My squad, again, investigates counterfeit money. There's so much of it that comes through my desk every day that is all cataloged by the administrative people that work for me. It's pretty much broken up into groups of various manufacturing methods. A lot of the counterfeit money was manufactured by offset printing presses in, generally speaking, large batches. Up until a few years ago, with the advent of inkjet printers and really good color copiers and scanners, now a lot of the money is produced by these printers. Sometimes it's taken off the internet. You'll take images from the internet, download those onto your computer. You can use Adobe Photo or another Photoshop program, touch up these images, and if you've got a good printer, you can print them out, and you've got a fair quality counterfeit bill. If you cut it up and wrinkle it up and try and spend it at the 7-Eleven or at a dark bar, a lot of that money is spent that way.
So a lot of people are familiar with the new currency that's out now, the larger pitchers and the watermarking, that type of thing. How are those bills doing in the counterfeiting world? Are they providing the kind of support that you were hoping for?
Well, they're being counterfeited. If the people would look at the security features on those new bills and just spend a little bit of time looking at them when they accept them from their customers, those security features would help a lot. But we're just finding that people aren't taking the time to look. If they looked at the color shifting ink in the bottom right-hand corner, the watermark in the right-hand side, which is just a smaller picture of the portrait, the thread that's on the left-hand side, and just the general overall printing quality, people would find that they could differentiate between genuine and most counterfeit pretty readily.
I noticed one of the bills that you had here, one of the counterfeits, has a watermark on it that's not really a watermark. What are they doing there? What is that trick?
Some of the more sophisticated people that are producing the counterfeit newer bills are actually printing the watermark on the paper. So it's not actually a watermark, it's a printed image of Franklin on 100.
In gray or something like that?
Yeah, in a light gray. So if you hold it up and you're not really familiar with what a watermark looks like, it gives the appearance of a watermark.
I see. But that particular bill I was looking at didn't have the thread. Is that common to not see the threads running through?
You get a whole mixture. People will put the watermark in and not put the thread, or they'll try to duplicate the color shifting ink and not put the watermark or the thread. It just depends how much work you want to put into what you produce.
And is the plan to eventually move the new style bills through the entire line of currency? Will they move it all the way down to the one?
I don't think they're going to do ones, at least not in the near future. They are going to do fives and tens eventually. But they're really concentrating on getting the hundreds, fifties, and twenties into circulation because those are the bills that are most counterfeited. Actually, twenties and hundreds are the most counterfeited. Twenties because they're so prevalent, everybody's got a pocket full of twenties, and hundreds because of the profit margin. If you spend a $100 bill and you buy a pack of cigarettes, obviously you're making a lot more in genuine change than if you spend a $20 bill.
Have you ever seen a really high-quality counterfeit one?
No, because it doesn't really make sense to do that. To put that much effort into it, there's no profit in it. Most ones that are counterfeited are really just reproduced on Xerox machines, are very low quality, and are put into coin changers at a car wash.
What's the cheesiest bill you've ever seen?
Well, I don't know. I can think of one off the top of my head. You get a few that are we call novelty notes, where they kind of look like a $100 bill, but they've got a picture of somebody, some celebrity, as opposed to the picture of Franklin. And people make those, generally speaking, just as a joke. And then occasionally one will get passed and come into circulation, and I'll find it here.
Are there any areas that are known for being hotbeds of counterfeitings? In other words, if I work in Des Moines, I'm more likely to be getting counterfeit money there than I am working in San Jose?
Actually, the bigger the city, the more activity you've got. Generally speaking, the biggest offices for counterfeit for us are New York, Los Angeles, and Miami. San Francisco is probably one step below those because of the population, of course. You've got such a large population in those areas and such a large criminal population and such a large drug trade. So obviously San Francisco has a fairly large drug trade as well. Counterfeit money and drugs seem to run hand in hand. There aren't too many places you can buy something with a lot of cash where the person you're buying it from isn't going to look at the cash very quickly because it's in a dark parking lot at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's in a big hurry to give you the drugs and get out of town with your money. So that's where a lot of counterfeit money is initially passed, and then it filters down to the general public, and some people spend it knowingly and other people spend it unknowingly. And it's up to us to sort out who's got the criminal intent and eventually prosecute those.
But technically, drugs per se are not part of the Secret Service charter, right?
No, no, they're not. We are not mandated to investigate drug trafficking. It just so happens that a lot of times the people who are involved in drug trade are also involved in counterfeit currency.
Right. So does that mean that you oftentimes will have some sort of a shadow or counterpart over in the FBI that's going along with you as you go through these different assignments?
Not so much the FBI, more often DEA, the local drug task forces. We work a lot with them. ATF, again, because if you've got counterfeit money, quite often you want a way to protect it if you're a major distributor of it and you may have a weapon. So we work a lot with them as well.
The Secret Service isn't hiring people that were counterfeiters to help catch counterfeiters. So how do you get schooled in counterfeiting? How do you find out about it? How do they teach you? And how extensive is that coursework? Or is it more a case of, here, you sit over here with Bubba, he's our counterfeiting guy, he'll show you how it works?
Well, it's somewhat a combination of both. It is taught extensively at our training facility in Washington, D.C. We hire a lot of technical people that work for our counterfeit division back in D.C. that coordinates a lot of the counterfeit cases. We have a forensic services division in Washington, D.C. that does a lot of our work with fingerprinting and analysis of counterfeit notes. So we have the technical side. Then we have the instruction at the academy. And then when the new agents come back from the academy and they're here their first year or so, they probably wouldn't start in the counterfeit squad. They'd probably start in the fraud squad. There is somewhat of a mentoring system where they'll be advised by some of the senior agents and by the supervisory staff of what to do, how to do it, and brought along that way.
So what's your advice to someone, say a normal clerk, if they get a counterfeit bill? So I work at 7-Eleven. Someone comes in, buys a Slurpee, gives me a counterfeit 20. It's very obviously a counterfeit 20. What am I supposed to do?
Well, if you've already had the ability to detect it, if you know at that time it's counterfeit, we'd like you to do is to keep it, not give it back to the individual. On the other hand, if he demands it back and you're going to get into a fist fight over it, give it back to him. We're not asking anybody to be a junior police officer or get themselves hurt. If you could get a good description of the person as he's leaving the store, maybe even poke your head outside and get the license plate of the car he's driving, that would be helpful. You could call us or you could call the local police department and report it to them. They'll, generally speaking, send an officer out to talk to you, take a written report, and they'll forward a copy of that report to us.